Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Health Matters. This is Dr. Mark Rooley, along with Lou Scally and Kathleen Gilbert, our producer, and today we're going to be talking about feet. You need them, gotta have them, you want to walk around, and you want to take care of them, too, and that's something that people don't always think about when they're thinking about arthritis, because, as we were talking a little bit earlier today, people think about their hands, their hips, their knees, but not often about their feet. Well, we want to talk about feet now. And we're very honored to have as a guest Dr. Johnny Motrin, board-certified podiatrist with Reconstructive Foot and Ankle Institute. And we're going to talk about arthritis of the foot. So first of all, welcome, Dr. Motrin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, people don't often think about arthritis in the feet. We think about it in our hands. We think about it in our hips and our knees. But there's a real good opportunity or chance, if you want to say that, that we're going to get it in our feet. Why do we get it in our feet?
Well, usually, I think really people don't consider your feet until you actually get older, because that's actually when a lot of the problems start to happen. You know, osteoarthritis or wear and tear arthritis, as they call it, it tends to happen as we get older. It's a chronic degeneration of the cartilage. Over time, the cartilage wears down. And you start to develop inflammation, pain, and you get bone-on-bone contact, and that's what really causes a lot of pain.
And you mentioned cartilage wearing down, and as you're talking about that, I'm thinking, well, of course this makes sense, because what do we use? What parts of our bodies do we use all the time? We use our feet all the time.
Oh, you have to use your feet.
So the bottom line is that, of course, it's going to wear down, and certainly arthritis can happen in our feet.
Absolutely.
Who is most susceptible to getting arthritis in their feet, and does it have any genetic bounds or any gender or racial implications?
Well, I guess it really depends on the type of arthritis we're talking about. The osteoarthritis, really, there definitely there's no genetic predisposition to that, really, and that just occurs as a wear and tear. You see it more in, you know, very active people, athletes, the military population. If you're talking about rheumatoid arthritis, which is also fairly common, it's not actually you don't pass it on. However, there are certain genes that they find that can make you more susceptible to having rheumatoid arthritis.
What about environmental factors? Has there been any research done where somebody's shown that environmental factors, whether it be, you mentioned a little bit about the type of work you do, but maybe where you live in the country or how much time you actually spend doing some kind of activity that other than athletes, of course, which you already mentioned.
Oh, absolutely. I think really people that really, you know, if you have to... say, for instance, a simple movement, just as bending down to pick something up and standing up. You know, really, if you do that repetitively over and over, like say a laborer or even
somebody working in a warehouse,
exactly,
perhaps
something like that, you can definitely predispose you to having arthritis. Mm-hmm. I think sooner.
Well, and then if we get arthritis in our feet, you've mentioned athletes. Of course, most of them are running a lot. I would imagine that would be partially the cause of that. You mentioned our military personnel, and of course they're on their feet a lot. Is there anybody else in an occupation that ought to be thinking, I need to pay special attention to this kind of issue?
I think really, definitely, we failed to mention earlier, but trauma, actually. Trauma-induced arthritis is very, very common, and that's actually one of the leading causes of osteoarthritis. It's really trauma-induced. So anyone that had some kind of an injury.
It's like a broken foot.
Exactly. Fracture, dislocation can definitely predispose you to having arthritis in that joint later. They say actually you're 7 times more likely to have arthritis in a joint that's been injured.
Well, what's going on then with the cartilage? And maybe you could explain in some less than scientific terms for our audience, what's going on with the cartilage in our feet that is now causing this problem, and why are our feet so susceptible?
I think the feet, of course, you have to walk on your feet, and there are certain things that can predispose you to having this. One may be, depending on where we're talking about, but in the foot, a very common place is the first metatarsal phalangeal joint, which is the big toe joint, the great toe joint.
Okay, big toe.
Very common. Really it could be the long first metatarsal that can, basically it's biomechanics usually is the reason that can predispose you to it. So either a long first metatarsal bone is very common, And to correct that, usually it's surgery. But
okay, so the big toe. Look for your big toe. If you get
very common.
If you get a pain in your big toe, is this something that you might be thinking, okay, what's going on here? Maybe I need to see my doctor.
Absolutely, I think especially if it's a repetitive thing, morning pain and stiffness, it just isn't getting any better and getting worse usually.
And I don't want to tell young people not to go see their doctor, but as you said, a lot of this happens just as we age, as we wear down the cartilage. So if, let's say, you're over 50 years of age, perhaps, is that a good benchmark?
I think so, but really arthritis can affect almost anyone, you know, depending on, you know, of course, the trauma. You know, if you have trauma, that's very common to have trauma in the foot. It can affect almost anyone at any age, but definitely osteoarthritis due to disease, more so after about the age of 45 to 50. Yeah, that's about right.
For a young person, what symptoms would they have that might clue them in that, hey, there's something wrong here and it may be related to arthritis?
I think, you know, pain that's just not getting any better, really. And it's pain that it can occur almost any time, but definitely in the morning you'll notice more stiffness, pain in the joint, especially aggravated by activity. I think really would key in on you know, going to see a foot and ankle specialist.
And if somebody has a pain in, let's say, their big toe, is it likely that they're going to have pain in the rest of their foot or all their toes? I mean, do these things just come actually isolated, or is it something that they experience all over their foot?
So actually, osteoarthritis, really it affects usually just one joint. You know, usually that's the way it works. And if you're talking about rheumatoid arthritis, it could affect many joints, and both feet usually, actually.
So there's an opportunity. If you're feeling it in both feet, that would be a real good clue to get yourself to your doctor.
Absolutely, and there's even blood work that can be, you know, that can be ordered to kind of to rule out, you know, rheumatoid arthritis or some of these other arthritides or many other forms of arthritis. Crystal induced, which is gout or pseudo gout, is a tendency to affect the big toe joint as well, and that can be very painful. But they definitely would definitely warrant seeing a foot and ankle specialist.
And we have our first caller. Let's go to the phones. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Motran.
Yes, I have two questions for the doctor. First, what is the actual definition that defines pseudogout from gouty arthritis? And the second question is, how is one to determine whether or not it's a podiatric matter, a rheumatic matter, or an orthopedic matter in terms of the specialty? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you so much. Those are really great questions there. And maybe, Doctor, we can start just a little bit with pseudo-gout versus the gout that you'd been talking about in terms of relations to arthritis.
Sure, sure. Pseudo-gout is really, it's called CPPD. It's actually, it's crystal-induced. So really, with pseudo-gout versus gout, you're not getting rid of the actual, so for gout, actually, it's uric acid. And there are overproducers and under-secretors. Really, what's happening is, bottom line is you have this uric acid circulating. And what happens is it deposits in the crystals deposit in the joints and cause damage. And it begins a process of destruction. And it can be very painful. And, you know, pseudogout is just a variant. It's similar to gout. It's just a different form of crystal.
Okay. What about I think the next question really relates more to the treatment. Do I go see a podiatrist, which you are? Do I go see somebody who's a rheumatologist? Or do I go see an ortho person in order to treat this, because here I am and I'm a patient and I just know I'm in pain?
Well, patients usually what they will do if they're following up, if they already are seeing a podiatrist, of course, mention it to your podiatrist and we will begin treatment. And I think what happens usually, however, is that you know, patients go to the primary care physician and then, you know, we get the referral. But there are medications to control you know, gout. And so that's definitely something that either the podiatrist can do or the primary care physician can place you on these medications. Even the orthopedic surgeon, of course, can place you on these medications. So really, if it is in the foot and it's causing a problem, you should see the foot and ankle specialist.
Okay, yeah. So see the person who specializes working on
Absolutely.
Foot and ankle, and you can take care of all of those kinds
Absolutely.
Of issues, and you're not just isolated to one thing
No.
or the other. Speaking of pain, what is it about arthritis that causes pain? What's the cause of pain that's arthritic?
The cause of pain is really so at the ends of each joint there's a cartilage there, and whenever you have wearing away of the cartilage, you start to get bone on bone rubbing, and then what happens when you get that? You get extra bone that forms around the joint, and that can become very painful. You definitely have limitation of movement, and you need a certain amount of motion in each joint for normal function. And when you cannot achieve that motion, you'll get pain. You'll have this bone on bone, and it'll cause pain.
So it's really that if you've got extra bone in there that's actually grown since then, that's taking up space.
Absolutely.
That wasn't taken up before, and
exactly.
Of course, now things aren't moving freely.
Exactly, and if it's an area that's prominent, it could even cause problems in shoe gear, just friction over that area where there's that extra bone can actually cause problems.
And how severe can the pain get? I mean, some people, I'm sure, probably have a very mild case of it. Others, I'm sure, very different. How severe can the pain get?
It can be very debilitating, and they say actually... today that the number one cause of disability is arthritis. And really, it's something that can really affect your quality of life, and it can affect your mobility.
And certainly, if you have a job where you're mobile and need to be mobile, and you can't walk without pain, you're going to have a real difficult time.
Absolutely.
So what is then the treatment that people should be expecting if they go to their primary care physician? And then, of course, if they're referred on to a podiatrist like yourself, what kind of treatment, what kind of pain medications can they expect as a first line of treatment?
Pain relievers and anti-inflammatory medication to reduce the swelling is very important. And there are many anti-inflammatories out there. Non-surgical treatment also includes shoe inserts and custom molded orthotics, which can help with ambulation. There are certain accommodations that can be made in that orthotic. Custom-made shoes, such as a stiff-soled shoe with a rocker bottom, is something that can also be used. An ankle-foot orthoses, a brace or cane, physical therapy and exercises, weight control, nutritional supplements, such as glucosamine, can help. And even steroid injections into that actual joint can help.
Now, I know if most people are like me and they get a little pain somewhere, their likely reaction to that is, well, I'm going to work it out. Maybe if I walk on it, it'll get better. But with arthritis, that's probably not the case, right?
Exactly. Arthritis usually tends to get worse. If left untreated, it can definitely, it tends to get worse.
All right, so if we've got a little pain there, what, a couple days go by, pain is not getting better and it might be getting worse, got to get yourself to the doctor then.
Exactly, exactly. See your foot and ankle specialist to begin treatment.
All right. Yeah. After we've tried the medications, and maybe they do relieve the pain a little bit, but maybe they're not getting the person back functioning, what's the next step?
So the next step would likely be, if all conservative care has been exhausted, surgery. Actually, there is surgery out there for arthritis, depending on the location. And on the severity as well. For a mild case, it may be something that simply is cleaning up the joint, taking out all that arthritic bone, looking at the joint.
So that bone
itself.
That's been growing in there,
absolutely.
You take that out.
Exactly. So we take that out, we look at the joint itself and the cartilage, and if there are areas that are denuded or cartilage that's eroded, we would actually perform drilling in that area, which helps actually stimulate cartilage formation. Not the same kind of cartilage, but it definitely stimulates cartilage formation.
All right, now I think you've baffled all of us here in this room about drilling, because we thought we had avoided the dentist early on, and now you're talking about drilling. So what really happens? What do you do with the drill in the cartilage, and tell us again what it does?
So really what you do, you drill into those areas where you don't see cartilage. And what will happen actually is... that stimulates, when you drill in that area, blood, you definitely get blood flow in that area. That's what happens. And when you get bleeding, actually what will happen in that joint over time, it can form fibrocartilage, which is actually something that it's been found to be useful.
Okay, so there's something that we probably didn't know, and we've learned something today, and that's a good thing. Can arthritis, any arthritis, but arthritis in the foot, can it be reversed or cured?
Arthritis cannot be reversed. It is a process that continues, you know, and I think we can definitely slow down the process, or you can even perform a joint destructive procedure, which is like a fusion. And, you know, that'll get rid of the pain, get rid of the motion, get rid of the problem. So,
but if not treated at all, can we just expect it to get worse?
Absolutely.
All right, and so then that can become very debilitating. And what about pain? And very painful, too?
Absolutely. Yeah, the pain, you'll see, it will just increase with time, usually. The arthritis will usually get worse and will warrant some kind of treatment, I think.
Are there any times when surgery really isn't a good option, or are there any types of patients where, yes, the pain medication's not really working, but surgery isn't a good option because of the situation with that particular patient? And could you describe some of those situations for
us? Sure. For example, I think someone that is very active and cannot take off of work, this is an elective procedure. This is not something that that has to be performed right away. And if the person is active and cannot take time off to recover, I think that's a good case where it would not be a good wise choice.
What kind of time are we talking about in terms of recovery?
It depends on the procedure, but if you're doing you know, some type of fusion, I think you really need a minimum 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes more, actually.
And that's the recovery time.
Absolutely.
Now, how about the surgery itself? How long would a surgery where you're doing that fusion, how long would that last? What kind of prep does a person need to do beforehand, if any?
For a fusion of a joint, it depends on the joint again and which joints are involved. But usually it's fairly quick. I think usually within an hour the procedure will be done. Preparation, really, there's not too much you can do other than, you know.
Clean your feet.
Yeah, of course, we'll clean your feet. Mm-hmm. And we'll actually give you a regimen to actually do that beforehand to start the process, usually the night before.
So you do that. You would come in. Now, is it a surgery that can be done on an outpatient basis?
Yes, definitely. I think depending on, again, which joint we're talking about, but usually if it's something in the forefoot or midfoot, it can be done as an outpatient. And other times, if it's something involving the more involved procedure in the ankle or rear foot, maybe an overnight stay in the hospital.
Okay, but then either case, we should be expected to be off of our feet for 4 to 6 weeks? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, unless we're, like we discussed earlier, just cleaning up the joint and doing some drilling and increasing some motion there, I think that's a quicker recovery. You could actually walk on that in a surgical shoe.
Okay, so there are some options for people for me hanging in there. Now, I know Kathleen has a question, so Kathleen, I'm going to let you jump in here.
Sure. We've heard from other doctors that when people have arthritic joints, it's important to kind of move that joint and keep it lubricated, but there's so many joints in the foot. I'm wondering if there's anything special you need to do, or can you just walk around and that naturally moves it the way it needs to be moved?
Well, I think definitely improving your range of motion is very important. I think in the foot there are many small joints, but you know, you can work on the big joints. Definitely the big toe joint is one you can work on, as well as the ankle. And I think physical therapy protocols are set up, and they would know what to do exactly, usually. There are different exercises that can be performed. And even after surgery, it's important to keep moving the joint. You don't want stiffness to get in the joint. And that actually can happen with certain, if you just clean up the joint, say, and do some drilling, and you just you know, let it be and let it heal for weeks at a time without moving it, you can actually, it'll become very stiff, and you're not really helping at all. So really moving it afterwards is very important.
Okay, thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the ankle. Now, with the foot, we've got a lot of joints down there. People probably don't recognize how many joints we have down there. And the ankle is obviously connected, because we all learned that in grade school with that song. So what's the opportunity that we might have arthritis in our foot, but also in our ankle?
Well, for the ankle, actually, usually it's trauma-induced in the ankle. So you'll see an injury, such as a really bad sprain, that can actually cause injury inside that joint, as well as even tearing ligaments, which can cause a big problem. Whenever a joint is off by a little bit, I mean, you could definitely have forces in there, loading that's abnormal. And what can happen is you can get, again, that cartilage degeneration, and starting that arthritic process.
And, of course, a lot of pressure being put on your ankle.
Absolutely.
Just being standing up.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got another caller. Why don't we head to the phones? Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Motran.
Yes, I'd like to ask the doctor which drug, over-the-counter drug, he would recommend for pain of arthritis of the toes.
Okay, a great question. We'll ask you to hang up and listen on the radio. So we're talking about over-the-counter medications. What would be recommended for people who have pain?
Sure. I think Advil or Aleve, over-the-counter medications or Motrin, that'll usually work well if you can tolerate it. If you can't tolerate those medications, if you have any GI issues, then usually we can go to, like Tylenol. Just taking Tylenol for the pain can be effective.
Okay, very good. We were talking about the ankles, and it reminded me of a question. If a person has arthritis in the foot, the toes, the foot, can it spread? Can it actually spread up to the ankles? Or if they've got it in their foot and they now are walking differently, what's the opportunity of injury, but probably more important and germane to this conversation, that they might develop some arthritis in the ankle?
I think, if you have arthritis in the foot and isolated to one joint, usually it doesn't spread to another joint. Usually it stays in that one joint. So it's not something that's not very, very common to see. And usually if you have, say arthritis in the foot, there's really no correlation with ankle arthritis. So
okay.
Say you have just one joint in the foot that's affected, that's really...
So that would probably be all that I would have affected, and unless I maybe injured my ankle, or if just as I was getting older and it was wearing again, mm-hmm. I might develop it, but really there's no relationship
Not
between
really,
the
no,
two.
Unless you're talking about some other kind of arthritis, which is like rheumatoid arthritis or the crystal-induced, that can happen. But usually if you're just talking about the normal wear and tear arthritis, that's usually the case.
We've got about a minute to go, and I wanted to ask you about implants. And I wanted to ask you because we've heard about total joint replacements with hips and knees, and we've had a little controversy about shoulders and all that.
Mm-hmm.
What about implants in the foot and the ankle?
Well, there are actually procedures performed nowadays for total ankle replacements. However, they are not as successful as the knee or hip. This is still, a work in progress. These implants tend to fail. They can fail, and over time, over long periods of time, they haven't shown up to really last as long as the hip or the knee.
And very quick question, any new research out there that would help us in terms of treatment of arthritis in the foot and the ankle?
I think, new treatment really is... aimed a lot of it's aimed toward again the implant improving the implants that are out there because even wherever you use the implants any part of the body there is usually a certain life of the implant and we're trying to extend that because there are patients that are having problems earlier on in life and that usually if they're that young then it doesn't warrant an implant.
We've run out of time. Thank you, Dr. Motran. I really appreciate you being here. Please join us next week when Dr. Matthew Beckwith will be here to talk about cholesterol. That's Tuesday, November 13th at 9:30 a.m. So on behalf of all of us at Washington County Hospital, my co-host Lou Scally, producer Kathleen Gilbert, I wish you a good day and good health.